Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. Recently, the Lord has been so dealing with us about knowing the Holy Spirit and knowing His part in the plan of God. God's working out His plans. When Jesus came to earth the first time in what we call the Christmas story, the Holy Ghost was so involved in that. He planted that seed in Mary. Now, Brandon, what were you saying before we came on the line?
I was just saying how what you were just talking about these last couple days, that same Holy Spirit that was with Mary and did all the wonderful works, it's in us right now.
That's right.
And I was saying we got to be careful what we say. And if you grasp that, you're going to not say some of the things you do. And you're going to want to live a totally dedicated life to God even more so.
That's exactly right.
And I was saying, do you think Mary, you know, you think Mary's going to go talk around? I know God probably saw her heart and knew how she was.
Yes.
And said, I'm going to choose her. I'm not going to choose the person that's going to do this and tell a bunch of people, you know.
Think about it. She was carrying the Savior.
That's right.
So, you know, she wasn't using her mouth to blaspheme or to gossip or she was
maybe
using...
go party around the town or something.
No. And so here we have him inside us, and it's not a matter of sin, it's a matter of dedication, and it's a matter of letting that holy seed that's within us, that Holy Ghost that's within us, mature and develop and minister in power. It's a matter of power.
And two, like, just an example real quick, in my life with the Holy Spirit, I've really been focusing on, he's your best friend. He's going to always be there for you. If something's bothering you, you can always tell him, and he'll coach you through it, but he's your best friend. He's going to comfort you.
That's right. We are his temples.
That's right.
And he's inside us. He'll coach you through things like that, and he'll coach you through God's plan for your life. God the Father has a plan for you, Brandon. All plans come from God the Father. And whoever you are out there, if a John from Scottish Borders is listening or any of the others that have written us, he has a plan for your life. Now, the one that's going to coach you through that plan for your life is the Holy Spirit. He tells you things to come. That's what's written in John. It is written in John. He shows you things to come. Now, he'll show you. Brandon's not married. He'll show you who to marry. If you want to have the best plan and you want to walk in the fullness of God's plan, well, what if you miss it? Well, then you'll have to go to plan B, and he always has plan Bs. But why not have the best? God's best plan. Don't waste your life, you know, getting to it and finding it out. The one who is, there's a blueprint for your life. You're supposed to end up in the image of Jesus. And the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is changing us into that. He's the one that's changing the whole church from glory to glory, one degree of God's presence to the next, until we're in the image of Jesus. So right now we're at the last. Brandon, let's say I'm just going to pick a number out of the air.
Okay.
Let's say Jesus is coming 3 years from now. Let's say you've got 3 years left. Now, the Holy Ghost knows when Jesus is coming. I believe Jesus knows now. He may not have known back in the days when the Bible says he didn't know, but now he's glorified. So he's going to work with you, Brandon, to get you ready for 3 years from now. And you need to be producing fruit. Having effect like Elijah had effect, and like John the Baptist had effect on people and their lives. And so he will be coaching you decision by decision. Now with you, Brandon, and I believe this must be true with a lot of young people now, because it says your young people will see visions, and people will be dreaming dreams. And so I do know that he deals with you in that way. And, of course, he deals with us in the Word. But what do you say would be advice to a young person that if Jesus is coming in 3 years? A young single guy like yourself.
I would say develop a relationship with God. Not necessarily what other people say, but just find God yourself in the Word. But I would say talk to the Holy Spirit. Have him part of your, talk to him throughout your day. Have him guide you. Tell him how much you love him. And just keep in contact with him so much that you don't even, that you know his voice more than anyone else's, than your mom, your dad, that you just, and he'll tell you what to do. But I would just basically do that and just kind of like, you know, you're just talking to your dad on the phone. Just, even if you're doing something, just be talking to him. That's what I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Develop that.
I think that's the best thing. Brother Hagin used to say, I determined that I was going to know the voice of the Holy Spirit better than I knew the voice of my wife, better than I knew the voice of my children. Well, the only way you can know him is fellowship and talk with him. I remember seeing Brother Hagin get down by the side of his chair in prayer and talk to God. And I knew he did it because I had an office there. He'd walk in my office, Brother Hagin, and he'd be talking to someone, wasn't me. And John G. Lake's daughter told me that. She said it was like my daddy had a friend that we never saw. We couldn't see him. But he was as real to daddy as any of us. And he would talk to him at the supper table. He would talk to him all walking around through the day. He might say something to us, and then he'd say something to the Holy Spirit. So this kind of a relationship with the Holy Spirit will sharpen you, and he will warn you. But I'll tell you what you have to do with the Holy Spirit too. You don't want to grieve him. When he speaks to you and you don't do what he said to do, it grieves him. And his voice will be, it'll be softer the next time. You can get your spirit kind of hardened to him. Tell about that time, that dream that you had when you had come out of Christian school. Brandon went to Christian school, and then about the seventh grade, I think, or eighth.
Yeah, it was the seventh grade. I came out of the Christian school, and I was going to public, and the guys I started hanging out with, they were just kind of, they didn't have a relationship with God at all. And I was busy doing sports, and I just kind of forgot about God, really. I didn't have a relationship with him at all.
Well, what were those guys in sports and those guys
they
in
were
public school?
They were just
cussing
and just
curse a lot, wouldn't they?
Cursing, and they're talking bad about people and stuff.
Dropping bad words.
Yeah, they were all the time.
And but At first,
I got kind of real sick, and I was like, oh, I don't like this. And after,
I don't like to hear it, yeah.
After a little bit, I just got numbed where I can't even really tell that they were cussing at all. And I had a dream. I was standing in a street. I knew I was in New York City. And I walked into a store, and Jesus was behind the counter. And it felt like if you had a pet dog, your favorite dog, and you accidentally hurt it or did something to it, maybe times that by a million. I felt so horrible. I felt so bad. I didn't even want to see Jesus. I wanted to leave. And I wasn't even worth, I didn't feel like I was, shouldn't even be there. Just look at him. And he
tried to get out, didn't
he? I tried to get out, and I tried to hit the door, and it was locked. And he said, Brandon, why have you forsaken me? Why haven't you been spending time with me? And I said, I'm sorry. And he just smiled and looked, and he said, it's okay.
You see, what he had done was, when you said, I'm sorry, he had forgiven you right away, and it was gone.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And just ever since then, I've been really trying to develop that, just talking to the Holy Spirit.
And what did he do then? He took you?
He took me around, and I remember seeing some people, they're homeless people, they were warming up by the fire. And he told me, he said, I didn't do this to them. I already did what I had to do. It's not my fault they're in this situation.
But he told you they were hurting. And
he said they're hurting, love them, help them, stuff like that.
And then he took you under a overpass? Or
we actually went through it.
You went through it? And he showed him all around the world people that were hurting and people that needed healing and people that needed helping. And every time he's appeared to you, he's always talked to you about the hurting people. But he didn't make it plain to you, he didn't do it to them.
That's right.
It was a Satan that did it to them. He provided everything for them, and he's provided everything for us. But the only way that we can be any real help to other people is to become the temple of the Holy Spirit, to let the Holy Spirit have your eyes, have your hands, have everything about you. And to develop that, you have to practice talking to Him. You know, Apostle Paul, he wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament. And one of the last books he wrote was Philippians. That was near the end of his life. And in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, he gave his desire, a mature Paul, very mature. And he said, I'm forgetting those things that I did put a lot of faith in. But he says, now I'm counting them all as dung. And he says, I have this one desire, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. That I may know Him, that I may know Jesus and the power of His resurrection. The power of Jesus' resurrection is the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us in 8:11 Romans, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up the Anointed One, Christ, from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. The same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, that raised up Jesus, the power of His resurrection, lives in me. And Paul said, I want to know Him, and I want to know the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians, that prayer we pray, in Ephesians 1, we say, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, give unto me the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. That is the Holy Spirit. And then it names three things for us that we need to get revelation on. And one of them is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenlies. You see, it prays that we would know the power of His resurrection. The Spirit that raised Him is the Holy Spirit. God wants you and He wants me to know the Holy Spirit. He wants us to know and to give our bodies as living sacrifices to Him. He said in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. The body of Christ, as we can give ourselves, not a matter of sin, but dedication and consecration, give ourselves to let the Holy Spirit fill every crevice of our being so that we can manifest God to what John Osteen called this dying, sighing world. Dying, crying, sighing world. And it can only be done is if we live as temples of the Holy Ghost with the power of Elijah, John the Baptist. The power of the Holy Ghost upon us. This is Billy Brim and Brandon saying shalom, shalom, even Shabbat shalom. The blessings and peace of Sabbath. Find a good church to go to. And think about what happened when Jesus came. How thankful we are by the power of the Holy Ghost. We'll be with you again next Monday. Shalom until then.